I am sorely disappointed. Which one of you brought me this?
I guess that'd be me.
On your knees, then.
Sure thing.
What happened? What went wrong?
Nothing went wrong, but thanks for asking.
Where's my vase? I'm supposed to have a vase full of blood, and it's supposed to be in that box.
Must have been in the other box.
What other box?
Must have been in the other box.
What other box, you fart?
Now it's garbage.
Another Movie Night.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the show. We are Just Another Movie Night, and I am Scott.
I'm Joe.
And guess what we're doing today?
Talking trash?
We're talking trash. You know, this is our show to review, spoil, debate, crap on, give second chances to the hated, the lowest rated, the much debated, often forgotten flicks on the internet. All while asking the question, is this the worst we've ever made? And if not, what is? Because here on the show, we truly believe you can't review a film unless you know what the worst is. And in honor of National Superhero Day on April 28th, we are doing a month of low-rated comic book films. And today we are talking about a movie that critic Roger Ebert once said, "There is not a trace of human emotion in it. To call the characters cardboard is an insult to a useful packing material." We are talking about 2008's The Spirit. It has a 4.7 on IMDb from 63,000 reviewers and a 30 on Metacritic. It was directed and written by comic book legend Frank Miller as his one and only full directed movie. He did some work on The Bad Sin City 2 and a little bit in Sin City 1. He is the writer and artist of comics 300, Sin City, The Dark Knight Returns, as well as the writer on Daredevil Born Again and Batman Year One. It had a $60 million budget. It grossed $39 worldwide.
Oh my God.
It is based on Will Eisner's The Spirit, a character who first appeared in comics in 1940. The character of Denny Colt. Do you want to know a little facts about Denny Colt, Joe?
I feel like I need to know some stuff about Denny Colt.
Do you know anything about Denny Colt?
I know nothing about Denny.
Okay. I think this is important and relevant to talk about before we talk about this movie. Okay. And that's why I wrote some facts down, because I knew you probably had no idea. I mean, this is a 1940s character.
Yeah.
He was a private investigator who fell into a suspended animation while fighting a scientist called Dr. Cobra. He was later brought out of it at a cemetery and used his mythological resurrection to scare criminals. He became a hero named the Spirit, and where he crawled out of the cemetery, he actually found a hidden layer and built a hidden layer under his tomb. He dresses in a bright blue pants, domino mask, blue suit, mask, gloves, shoes, and a hat, all in a bright blue. Okay? And he has a red tie and a white button-down shirt. That's what he looks like.
Okay.
He has no superpowers. He's just a man.
But he can't die.
No, he can die.
He can
die. He has no superpowers.
So he was resurrected with a serum.
He was in suspended animation. He thought animation. He was dead. And so he was buried.
Okay, but he managed to get out of that.
He woke up out of the suspended animation, survived, and used that mythological idea that all these cops, all these criminals thought he died and resurrected, that he couldn't die. So he used that to scare criminals.
Well, I will say this. That sounds more boring than what Sam Jackson did to him in this movie. It does.
Well, of course. His villain, the octopus, was never seen. And he only worked from the shadows to always use bad guys to attack him. He's much like Dr. Claw in the Inspector Gadget.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Okay. he was based in New York City originally until it got kind of developed into more comic book lore in like DC maybe, because he started working in Central City, which is very known for being the Flash's city.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, and sometimes he would just globetrot. He didn't really have his own city. Sometimes the adventures would bring him to the moon.
So what was his reasoning? So he went to the moon. So the reason, so he scared off people because they thought that he was dead. So what? So they figure he might be like a zombie or something, and then he scared off criminals?
It's the same thing with all the original crime-fighting characters of the early days, right? So Batman used the idea that he was Batman to scare criminals because they always used to say, criminals are superstitious. And so they are easily scared. And the only way to stop a criminal is through fear. So a lot of these original characters from the early days of comic books use that idea of fear as being a tactic. So much like Batman, much like, you know, Zorro, the Lone Ranger, they use these ideas of, oh, we don't know who that masked man is. He's scary. So that it was very, you got to remember back in these times, like it didn't take much to be creepy.
I guess not, but they eventually found that he was alive, right? The police and every.
I don't particularly know how that played out, but why would the cops ever let on that they knew he was alive?
That's true. So there was never a girl that he, like in the movie, that person never existed. Sans Serif, which is actually a font on the computer.
Yeah, but it's not Sans.
It's Sand.
Sand Serif.
Sand Serif. It just sounds funny because when they say it fast, it sounds like the font.
Are you suggesting that they might have said it way too many times?
No. The 118 times that they said her name? That's not enough.
I do feel like they maybe said it every couple seconds.
Yeah, that's just not enough.
Sans Serif.
It's not talking straight, Sand.
And where are you going to find all that, Sand? Well, to do whatever you want, Sand. I hate you, Sand.
I must find Sans Serif.
My beautiful Sans Serif.
Sans Serif.
So Sans Serif has the blood in Serif.
Don't worry about Sans Serif.
Sans Serif.
Find Sans Serif. Find her now.
I am a man of my word, Miss Serif.
Name is Sans Serif.
Sans Serif.
Sans Serif.
Sans Serif.
Hi, what did you say her name was again there, old buddy?
Sans Serif.
Sans Serif. Some moniker, huh? Her name is Sans Serif, and you know her, and you're covering for her.
Sand, that went great.
And sand. Beautiful sand. It's so funny, my last thought would be of sand.
This is sand.
I never heard of any Sans Serif. You're lying!
Sans Serif! Oh, yes, I know her. Please here, find Sans Serif. I won't need profit.
You did a neat little job up there, Sand.
What's the story, Sand?
We're tough, Sand, on the outside, but...
Sand. Long time no see, Sand.
Sand! You found your armor. Use it.
Time to finally drop your armor, San. Goodbye, San.
Is that Sarah?
Give me this one, doll, and just let her go.
I don't like sand. It's coarse and rough and irritating, and it gets everywhere.
Not enough.
So, yeah, a lot of these characters kind of existed, but they also folded in from another comic book that originally got started and then it folded. So they kind of like merged some ideas. But the thing about this comic book that you need to know is that he was a Boy Scout. He was Captain America. He was like very wholesome. There were a lot of female vixens that he fought.
Okay.
But I don't think that was ever like a sexualized... overboard sexualization of everybody.
Okay. Because I'm not getting it from this guy here in this movie.
Not getting what?
This over-sexualization thing that he's got going on, it doesn't gel very well.
Are you suggesting that the character isn't over-sexualized, or the actor isn't bringing the sexy?
The actor is not bringing the sexy. I'm not feeling that from him at all. I don't know if it's the actor or the way he's portraying this character, but I'm not getting it. At all.
So when he talks about fucking his city.
My city. She's always there for me.
Every lonely night she's there for me. She's not some tarted up fraud all dressed up like a piece of jailbait. No, she's an old city, old and proud of her every pocket, crack, and wrinkle. She's my sweetheart, my plaything. She doesn't hide what she is, what she's made of. Sweat and muscle and blood of generations.
It didn't
turn you on?
No.
Okay.
No.
Because I'm pretty sure while creating this, Frank Miller did think this is what sexy is.
Frank Miller, as brilliant as Frank Miller may be,
That's something we could talk about and debate during this.
There's a lot of like things about him that make me feel as though there's something not right upstairs a lot of the time with this guy.
I think the crudest possible way to put how I've organized my career is I've been led by my dick.
I have some quotes from Frank Miller that I think are necessary to make this idea that Frank Miller might be a little insane.
Mm-hmm.
And that he might be, there's something wrong here.
Okay.
Because I don't know if the movie we just watched connects with Frank Miller's own statements. So you want me to read some of these?
Yes.
Okay. This is Frank Miller talking about his approach to the adaptation of this movie. He said, "I adored Will Eisner and took a real don't tread on me approach where I came to this movie at the same time I was willing to tread all over it. I knew Will always wanted to do something fresh and new, not some stodgy old thing that aspires to be revered. I don't want anybody to bow to this movie. I want a ripping good yarn. It is not an antique."
Okay.
Okay, I thought that was an interesting thing to talk about there, because I feel like some of these quotes have to be read because they feel almost contradictory to themselves.
Yeah. Okay. Read another one.
So here's an interesting quote about his conversation with Will Eisner that I think is telling in getting to know Miller and where his brain was before the movie was being filmed, because they actually did interviews with each other where they had conversations between the new and the old.
Okay.
And there's a lot. And I just wrote this one down, this little layout here. "I piped up with my own theories about the relationship between comic books and movies. Without realizing it, I had essentially characterized comics as the poor man's film, thinking each panel the equivalent of a frozen frame of celluloid. Will rip me to pieces. What counts, he told me, is panel content. The function of the individual panel to advance the story. Each panel must have story content, he insisted, despite my protests. If you want to make movies, go make movies. What Will argued is at the very heart of the enduring appeal of the spirit, and it's one reason why, to this day, the spirit remains not only a stunning body of work, but an essential lesson in what comics are and what they can do." That was Frank Miller in 2000 recalling a conversation with Will Eisner in his Introduction to the Spirit Archives, Volume 4. Okay, so I had to read these and I wrote these all down because I'm thinking to myself, what the fuck are you talking about? Because this movie tells me a different story.
Yeah.
This tells me a story about a man who is so into himself that he didn't give a shit about the source material that he was developing.
It didn't seem like he did either. I mean, based on what you're telling me about the spirit, the character of the spirit, none of that was really happening here. The only thing that they really kept true to was the fact that he was, you know, basically, I want to say immortal, but you know, whatever.
He's not. Yeah, he was never supposed to be immortal. It was just supposed to be like a superstitious thing. So if it was supposed to be a superstitious, here he said, "Nah, what if we just made that really the whole thing?"
Yeah. Right?
So this is bizarre because the spirit comic character itself actually inspired a lot of people, a lot of creative people. In fact, William Friedkin bought the rights to this in 1970 to make this into a movie.
Oh, wow.
William Friedkin. Right?
The director of The Exorcist.
Yes. That's somebody that you wouldn't exactly picture caring about the spirit.
No.
That kind of blows my mind a little bit. Of course, the movie fell through the idea because he actually approached Will Eisner himself to write a screenplay. And he turned it down, but he said to him he should use this other screenwriter that he thought would understand.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, being Friedkin, he had a falling out with that guy.
Mm-hmm.
And they couldn't get along, and so they scrapped it.
Yeah.
And this went into a couple others. In fact, while researching this a little bit more, I found out that there was a TV version. There's a TV movie version of this that now I desperately want to watch.
Are you kidding me?
And I did not know existed. So I would have rather have done that if I would have known.
Well, we're going to have to find it.
Yeah, I have to find that sooner or later. I couldn't believe I'd never heard of it. But yeah, so I would love to see how wholesome that version is comparatively, which is a really fun companion piece to doing this movie, I think. Because after starting with this and then going back, it couldn't only get... It's like when we did the Captain America TV movies. We did two of them in one episode.
Mm-hmm.
It would be like that, where we know what we have today versus then. And we're like, holy crap, are those movies boring? But this movie is so insane that I almost would want to go back to a tamer version.
Here's the thing. I don't think this movie is insane. I don't think anything about this movie screams insane. That's what I want to see.
You don't think anything about this movie screams insane?
Not in... Okay, I mean, it does, but in a way that's disappointing. You know, like, I'd rather have in the insanity and have it be, like, you know, entertaining. This movie was flat as hell. It was flat.
That's the thing that's crazy about this movie, is that it's like one big parody, but it is so flat and boring that it almost... The only thing that keeps sparking your brain to keep waking up is not only the way that women are filmed, and even him, you know, he films them as like these sexy things, like these dolls, I would say. But then that kind of piques your interest a little bit, but then it's the insane dialogue that just keeps making you go, what the fuck? Just what?
Your mind ain't right, Octopus. You're talking crazy. Talking crazy talk.
We're the only two like us, pretty boy.
I'm nothing like you.
Nothing like me? You sure can take a lot of punishment, sweetheart. Just like me. You ever wonder why?
Never even crossed my mind.
Well, I'll be learning you. I'll be learning you real soon.
I'll be learning you.
Mm-hmm. You know, and so I'm like, that's the insane part I'm talking about. And then the whole movie overall is one big dull flat note. Like, I can't believe how boring something like this is when it has so much going on.
You know, I think a lot of it, I think that one thing that it had going against it was the dialogue. And not just the amount of dialogue, but the content of the dialogue.
That's exactly what I'm talking about. That's the insane part.
That's the insane part.
Silken Floss.
Silken Floss is the most beautiful woman ever.
She was supposed to be here. How are we supposed to find our way home without Silken Floss?
Where's the truck?
Oh, I found the truck!
Silken Floss is the most beautiful woman ever.
Load up the box and pile in specimens. You've done your petri dishes proud. No need to wait for the boss if that's the spirit back there. The octopus always finds his nemesis so distracting.
It is a spirit. He had his hat on. We was watching.
Well, then they'll be at it all night.
Yeah, boss said so. Boss said so. We was watching.
The insane part is hands down the dialogue.
It's the Frank Miller of it all is what is so frigging crazy, because I think Frank Miller in himself is crazy. That's why I read these quotes, because this sounds like a person who's like, I really care about the source material and I don't want to ruin it, and I respect the man who wrote it. And then he made a movie that is his own stuff. So he took the bright blues and the colors and the wholesomeness of the spirit and then turned it into Sin City.
Well, here's the thing. Do you think for, like, okay, so when did Will Eisner pass? Did he pass before this movie came out?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah.
Okay, so so this is really what it is Frank Miller just doing whatever the fuck he wants with somebody else's
That's what
content,
I'm talking about,
you know?
Yes.
It's like,
he
first
references
of all,
his own work numerous times.
Yeah, and, you know, I feel like that is beyond disrespectful.
I agree.
It's Robin. R-O-B-I-N, like the bird.
Or like the kid sidekick. You know, the one with the cute little tights, the tight little derriere.
Sounds like an electric complex.
What's that?
Electric complex. Plain as your face.
Honey, I'm just an alter cocker. You gotta give me something to work with here.
Alter cocker?
Old fart. Oh. Jews these days can't even take time to learn their own language.
Electric complex. It's like an Oedipal complex, except it's for girls. Street pizza.
You look stupid.
Wanker.
You'll believe a man can't.
The way I see it is that, you know, Will Eisner had passed on
2005 at 87.
Okay, and this movie came out in 2008, correct?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. See, this is fucked in so many ways because, you know, I don't care how big of an ego you have. Maybe just have a little bit of respect for the person that brought this character to life and that actually was allowing you to bring this onto a screen, you know, in front of people and trusted you enough to do that.
I'm going to add something to it. It might be even more disrespectful. Frank Miller was approached at his funeral to make this movie.
What?
Yeah.
Who approached him at the funeral?
The person who owned the rights said, we really need to make this in tribute to him. And he went to Frank Miller and said, we really, would you like to do this with us?
Oh, okay. Hold
at
on,
his
hold
funeral.
On. He was asked by someone to pay homage to this man who created this character in the 40s and to take this character, bring it to the big screen and do it justice. And he did this to it?
That's what I'm getting at. And this quote here where he's like, he wouldn't want me to do what he did. He wouldn't want me to retread on it. You know, I should tread on it a little harder.
I mean, it seems to
like,
me that he...
That kind of quote is like, wait, what?
He didn't tread on it. He stomped on it.
That's
because
what I'm...
Because he recreated the whole character.
He recreated the own character and made it Marv meets the spirit. Like, you know what I mean? It's so Sin City. He even used the exact technique of Robert Rodriguez's Sin City, which we worked on with him and learned how to virtually make a movie with Rodriguez. He virtually just used the same technique. It's all in dark and all in shadows because it's supposed to be film noir.
Yeah.
Right. And he nails that. Sin City is one of the books that made me love comic books.
I actually really love Sin City.
I love it. When I was a kid, when someone handed me a couple comic books, that Yellow Bastard in particular, when I got that, I was like, holy shit, this art form is incredible. This I love this film noir. It's like cheesy, but it's also, it's like hard-boiled. It's just like kind of perfect what that tone is supposed to be going for. And it made me just love it. And the same goes with year one of Batman. It's just like he nails it, but I know that if I look at all of his different books that I've ever read, the insanity is slowly peppering in and throughout. The more his ego got padded, everything got crazier. And in this movie you get all of that times 30. Like, we have seen this now, and we're kind of so used to it. He has a famous Batman storyline that he did with Jim Lee. And in this book series, he virtually ruins Batman. And he makes him, like, a savage moron, like, serial killer. It is so weird that I just go, this is a guy who doesn't give a shit anymore, and all he really cares about is sex and violence.
That's weird. Why would Jim Lee go along with this situation?
Because it's Frank Miller, the guy who virtually, you know, if he did year one, you know, the two guys who virtually made Batman what we love about Batman, year one, which is Frank Miller, and The Killing Joke, which is Alan Moore, both those guys are insane.
Yeah, but Alan Moore hates him.
Well, no, Alan Moore hates everybody. That's the thing I'm talking about. Alan Moore doesn't want to have anything to do with comic books. He has been jaded. I understand that. But he's also one of those people, it's like, I don't like the thing that got me famous. And it's kind of like, ah, damn it, you know?
Yep.
It's upsetting, and it's almost like insulting when these people tell you, you shouldn't like the thing that I did. It's kind of weird.
Well, we've gone through that with musicians and all sorts of...
And I'm sick of it. I think that's insulting and sickening.
You know, I am too.
And the things that are crazy. Now, I will say that there problematic things in the Spirit comic book with Will Eisner? Yes. And sadly, and well, not sadly, but shockingly, the thing that was weirdly insulting about the Will Eisner book wasn't even put into this movie. So Frank Miller had the know-how to not do one of the characters from the book that was insulting and a little, racist. There was a character in there called Ebony White.
Okay.
Who was a sidekick in the early 40s who was a very bad stereotype of the black community. And I think what's weird about this is that people in the community, that community did not actually think it was racist at the time. They actually let it go. They said that it was following something that was a stereotype at the time. But Will Eisner himself knew that it was a problem, so he wrote that character out.
I mean, okay, so this is a character from the 1940s.
Yes. When you look it up, you're not going to be very happy.
Oh my God.
Yeah. This is a character who used to be his sidekick that would drive him around in a taxi. Yeah.
This is the most racist thing I have ever seen.
I actually saw, like, he actually was commended for even making a character like that from the black community, but that's bizarre. But he knew that this was problematic and wrote it out and actually went on to develop better characters.
Okay, well, that's one good thing that Frank Miller did here is he took that character out.
Because, can you believe that? Because he replaced it with fucking Nazis.
All right, here's the thing.
Which is full-on Frank Miller obsession.
His
obsession with Nazis.
That scares me on so many levels. There's something wrong with this man, okay? He's not right in the head.
Something is wrong.
He's not right in the head at all.
I have to read this because I found this because I knew you were going to ask about it because in this one sequence in this movie, we, for some reason, get both Scarlett Johansson and Samuel Jackson dressed as Nazis in front of full swastikas and Hitler's face.
I told you, I mentioned to you, I can't believe she even put that on because she is Jewish.
She said, of course I felt squeamish. Yeah, when I first put it on, I was like, you never think you're going to wear a swastika armband. It was uncomfortable for her, but she ended up wearing it in the film anyways. I mean, the costume, it was very bizarre to put on at first. Eventually, it was like, oh, my grandfather's rolling in his grave right now, she joked.
Okay, that's not fucking funny.
What?
That's not
even
funny.
Even she knew later, because later on she made that other movie, the Jojo Rabbit.
Oh,
where it was like, okay, now you're making something that you know that was offensive as shit.
Yeah.
But like, I can't believe that she ever went along with this sequence.
I'm very shocked.
And does this sequence even make sense for the tone of what's going on?
No.
No.
No, because honestly, I mean... Sam Jackson, he has these ridiculous long dialogue moments in this movie that literally go nowhere or make any sense whatsoever.
Yes.
I mean, he has several of these like blurbs of just dialogue where he's spewing out, you know, in Sam Jackson fashion. Yes, they deserve to die, and I hope they go to hell, and all that.
Egg like on his face, Joe.
Yeah, I mean, one of his quotes in this movie, I had to write it down.
You could write this whole movie's script down.
No egg on my face, not a glob.
That'd be egg on my face, Pathos. You know I don't like egg on my face.
Hadn't thought of that.
No, using your brain, that you weren't built for.
Suppose you just tell me where the emergency room is. I'll tell them I'm one of the homelesses. They don't make them pay for anything. That's why the homelesses are always getting hurt. Because it's free. That'll work.
So this. No egg on my face!
I'm like, what? Why are you screaming first of all? Okay? He's screaming. But like, all of his dialogue is Sam Jackson fashion. And it's so... wordy and ridiculous, and it goes nowhere, and it's not essential to the plot whatsoever, and it gives me no answers as to why he's wearing a Nazi uniform.
Yeah.
I don't understand. And I mean, the quotes of this movie, I wrote down a couple. I was like, what the fuck?
Well, I was actually going to say to you, because I know we're on a rant now.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about the movie. Okay, the plot is so simple.
But I got to read this one other thing, because usually I start with a tagline instead of a quote from a critic. But I had to switch it up because the tagline, there's three of them.
Okay.
And I didn't know which one to pick, but I thought that they all kind of went along with our rant already. So tell me what you think about these taglines.
Okay.
Down these mean streets, a man must come.
Okay.
A hero born, murdered, and born again. That's the first tagline. All of that.
That's the tagline. The whole thing.
Down these mean streets, a man must come. A hero born, murdered, and born again.
Okay, it's like a little bit run-on-y, but...
Yeah, but it's also weirdly sexual.
Okay.
Okay, then the second one is, my city screams, she is my lover, and I am her spirit.
Yeah.
Again, what is going on here? Okay, then the third one is your favorite. This is actually it was a tagline on a poster, and it's your favorite. I know it was. I'm going to kill you all kinds of dead.
That's my favorite.
That's your favorite, yeah.
I mean,
you wrote that down?
I did write that down, yes. I said, I want to kill you all kinds of dead.
Not for me, brother.
Jefferson. I'm going to kill you all kinds of dead.
The other quote that I like was, shut up and bleed. And the other one was, what smells dental?
What smells dental made me laugh really hard when it happened.
Yeah. Like, I mean, honestly, there's so much crazy in this movie. I am.
He actually, after he wakes up after saying, what smells dental? He goes, oh, and Nazi.
What smells dental? Dental and Nazi.
And we still have no explanation to why they're wearing those Nazi uniforms.
Here's something really funny. We actually have a history with this movie. You want to know why we have a history with this movie?
Oh, my God.
Because in 2006, I believe, we went to our first Comic-Con.
We did.
We have never been to Comic-Con, but we tried to do... We always want to try things we've never done before or go places we've never been. And one of these things was, well... Let's check out the biggest comic convention. It's not really a comic convention anymore.
It's a pop culture
phenomenon.
We hiked out to San Diego.
We went to the big one that sells out. Now you can't even get
in
these things. That's
2009. Mm-hmm.
It couldn't be 2009.
It was 2009.
But the movies had already come out.
Because that's when True Blood was coming out, remember?
It couldn't have been.
Well, no.
Or do you think it was
2,000 years later.
Comic-Con was in June.
That makes sense because this movie released on Christmas.
Yeah, it was 2008. It was 2008.
Nothing says Christmas, I guess because of the resurrection.
Well, I was thinking because the snow.
If it came out on Easter with the resurrection, maybe that would have been better. But I don't know why this is Christmassy. I have no idea what they were thinking. No wonder it didn't make money. Well, also that it word of mouth. But yeah, I guess it was early 2008.
I think it's May 2008.
Because we had seen a sneak peek at this movie, but we sat in the Hall H, which is the big part of the convention where people come and they talk.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know if you remember all this, because they had a round table of the biggest people going to be making movies at the time. So we had, Zack Snyder was doing the Watchmen movie. And that had me freaking out, right?
Yeah.
Because it's a very important graphic novel to me, or a comic book series. And he was making it. And when we saw the trailer, it blew my mind.
Yeah.
I could not believe how cool it looked. I don't know how I feel on it now. But that, Judd Apatow was making something at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Frank Miller, they announced that he was making this movie. I can't remember the other two directors, but they were big directors and they all had a round table and talked about their movies and talked about what was happening. I feel like, I don't think Kevin Smith or it was someone else that was like a bigger person. And, they were all talking about their movies that they were working on together.
Well, Hugh Jackman was there And I remember him, he was in Hall H and he came out.
That was a different thing though. These were different panels. They had like a panel just for the Spirit, a panel for the Watchmen,
for Lost.
A panel for Lost.
Yeah.
Whatever the other big ones were at the time, Twilight.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. There was some singer, rapper we didn't know that was making a movie. Was it Rain or something? What is that guy's name?
No,
we didn't know who he was.
He's an Asian martial artist.
Yeah, it was a him, though? But people were freaking out. They lost their minds.
Yeah. And we had never heard of
him. We didn't know what Twilight was at the time either. But so these things came out, and we actually got to see a clip of this movie in the panel discussion. And it was of a fight sequence from the opening here between the octopus, which is Samuel Jackson, and the Spirit. And I remember when we were watching it, I said, that looks like the worst thing I cannot believe how bad that looks.
Yeah,
and you were like, we're never going to watch this movie. So we actually never saw it until it came out on video.
That's true. I think
we fell asleep during it.
Yeah, which is weird because we usually like to go to the movies. But back then, I don't think we wanted to spend the money.
We didn't want to spend the money.
Because we were like, this is probably going to be a sack of turds.
And it also came out on Christmas and you're busy during the holidays. And then you don't go and see. It was actually at the end of the year. I think it came out right after Christmas. I think it was like the 28th.
Yeah.
And it was like, who's going to see it during the holidays? It flopped hard. It was out of the theater. Mm-hmm. We didn't care.
Yeah, we just
didn't
care.
And so we had to wait. And then we finally saw it on video or whatever the hell it was at the time. And I don't remember the movie at all.
No, the only thing I could tell you that I remembered about the movie is that I did not care for the main actor. There's something about him that bothered me. Now, I could look at Eva Mendes all day.
How can I not remember that she was in this and they show her completely naked at one point.
Oh, almost. You could see her in the background, a little hazed out, but
then they show her, you know, from the back.
And they show her booty, and then, you know, she's just gorgeous, just beautiful. And then Scarlett Johansson also just beautiful. But I just remember not liking the main actor, and I don't even know where I know him from. I think his name's Gabriel Macht.
Yes, he's in some stuff we've seen, but not as much.
I just don't remember. But like, that's the only thing I remember about this. Not even like what you would think would be the most memorable thing about this movie, which is Sam Jackson's, you know, one-liners and silly dialogue. You know, I will give this to him. He does make the best out of everything. He really does. I mean, this could be the shittiest situation on planet Earth, but he still makes the best out of it.
I think that's being generous, but I do agree that I don't even.
I'm not saying his acting was good. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is you could tell he's just bringing it and he doesn't even care what situation he's in.
I always hear this Spinal Tap in my head when it's like this goes to 11.
Yeah.
That's how I feel about Samuel Jackson. It's like always at 11 and you're like, you don't need to be at 11 all the time.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I have a lot I want to talk about, but just let me just give a plot synopsis really quick.
Yeah, I was going to start trying to get some stuff in here because there is stuff I want to talk about.
Yeah, I mean, but the bottom line is here is that, you know, we see the Spirit. His name is, what was his original name?
Oh, something Cooper. I just blanked out on it. Yeah, I'd have to look again.
Well, you know, we meet him and the whole film opens with him doing a save.
Denny Colt.
Okay.
Just forgot.
So, you know, I will say about the art, it looks nice until it doesn't. You know, with some of the comic booky blood stuff with the, you know, when he pulls out the sword of his body and stuff, that looks a little cheesy because it's just a cartoon, you know? But otherwise, I think this looks nice. And when it opened, the movie opened, it looked nice.
Not for the Spirit. It would work in a lot of other things.
Mm-hmm.
If this was the Shadow, I wonder how much more I would feel about it.
Yeah.
If this was like one of these darker heroes, I kept thinking about Batman during this, my love for Batman, and thinking about how more of the Gotham feeling of the city would feel, and if Shadows were more of a play. And I kept thinking that Eva Mendes is the best Catwoman I've ever seen on film. But then I kept going, why, if you had all this at your disposal, why couldn't we have it in something that actually was good?
Mm-hmm.
You know, this cast, you know, the budget, All
the
these
score.
Things.
I would like a better score.
Oh my God. We can talk about Danny Elfman ripping his own Batman score off of this movie.
It's, I got issues. I mean, honestly,
it's weird.
There's just, well, you know, we learn here that the spirit is a former cop. Right, so he's working
version,
with
he's
the police. Yeah,
yeah. Well, that's the thing too, that the movie suggests that he's living in a nice apartment and everything, and he's got everything he wants. He doesn't have a job, and he actually doesn't have an identity because he's thought to be dead.
Dead, yeah.
And that he seems almost not to remember. He keeps referencing that he doesn't know who he is.
Right.
A woman in an alley that he saves when he's running around on the rooftops, like he has no weight to his body, like he's like Legolas. He's running around like a feather on top of, like, electrical wires and stuff. I don't know what's happening. And it's in slow motion. It's very strange looking. Yeah. But he hears, like, a woman getting, like, assaulted. And it, when he saves her in the alleyway, which I love that it's, like, done in shadows.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also, just another problem with the movie. It acts like it's old-timey, like the 1940s with costumes and ideas and characters and the way that characters act. And then he has a cell phone.
Right.
And you're like, what is this?
Right.
Well, he does save this woman in the alley, and it's great because they're filming her like she's an old-timey actress. Mm-hmm. And what's really I love is we see the violence through shadows next to her in the alleyway. Like, you're just seeing the shadow beating, like the shadow of a person beating someone up, and her watching it stunned. And then she asks him, who are you? And he can't answer. He actually has a flashback, like, I don't know who I am. I don't know what I am. You know, that kind of scenario. Yeah. And he does this a lot, but then he has full flashbacks where he remembers exactly who he is.
It's very strange because he does have a flashback to when he was a younger man and played. He was...
Young Neil played him from Scott Pilgrim.
Oh, yeah, Young Neil. And he was with Eva Mendes.
As a young girl.
And they were together and they, you know... He gave her a beautiful locket with her pictures in it and stuff. And he remembers all of those things. He remembers going to the carnival with her and all the sorts of things. But he doesn't know who he is, which I think could be maybe a repercussion of what Sam Jackson did to him, which is, you know, resurrect him, inject him with some kind of serum.
We don't get that for a while, where they basically just, he just admits the whole, for some reason, he gives an entire monologue to the camera.
Right.
About, like, the time that he took the body and injected it of this cop, and it resurrected him, and then he used it on himself so they can't die.
Right.
And then that's, like, a part of the whole story of this movie?
Right. Now, okay, I understand. So he can't die, but the crazy amount of, like, superpowers that the spirit has in this movie are mind-boggling. Like, he can literally run up the side of a building with no rope. I mean... Until he can't. I mean, it's just astounding. He gets shot, he gets stabbed, and he acts like he doesn't feel anything.
Yes.
Which is weird because when the two of them, the octopus and the spirit, have a fight scene in the puddle of mud.
Okay, we got. That's why I wanted to talk about the movie only because the water. It is baffling. The water is either you stand up in it, or you can jump right in and go down so far that it's the abyss. And then they're in a mud pile. And I'm like, what is happening in this water?
They were fighting in mud, but that's the same mud that Eva Mendes was standing in when she came out.
And then she jumped back down and there was no ground.
Right. So they didn't understand the assignment, I guess, the production.
It's like that time thing where people go, you're thinking about it too much. It's a comic book. And I want to slap those people because I'm like, you're basically... dumbing down a whole medium because you think that comic books are too kiddie.
Right.
But it's like, there's tons of work in comics that go beyond kiddie.
Right.
And so you got to stop. You either do the 1940s, which is that, the Adam West, maybe, you know, the Adam West Batman, where you're playing to the 40s.
That was the 60s. 50s. Yeah.
But you know what I'm saying? You're playing to that idealism of the 40s and 50s in the 60s.
Yeah.
Where you're kind of embracing the new and the old, but this movie is embracing just new while pretending like there's some 40 stuff over here.
Yeah.
Like there's some ideas. Like he's wholesome and he's like telling kids, stay in school and drink milk. And then he goes on the rooftop and goes, I can't wait to have sex with my city.
Yeah.
The city does
so bizarre.
Me. The city feels me.
Oh my God. So bizarre.
I feel the city inside me.
Oh my God. Yeah. It is.
It shows me the way.
Okay. We got it.
It goes hard.
Okay. All right. We got it. Yeah.
It's my mother.
Stop
my
it.
Daughter.
Oh my God.
My sister and my lover. It's I like, what? What is happening?
Stop
what
it.
Is happening?
So creepy.
But that's true. You know that he says stuff like that in the movie.
It
and you're
is,
like,
he does.
What
he does.
Are you telling me? Are you a wholesome person or are you a depraved lunatic?
No, he's a depraved lunatic. I mean, he's like all about, you know, all these women.
That we gotta talk about.
You know,
that.
Which is weird because, you know, we see that he's in love with Ava Mendez since they were young kids, and now which all of a sudden he's before. Like this freaking womanizer. Because why? Because he's a savior of the city. And he helps people, but he's like literally all over every woman. It's just, I don't get it.
Eva Mendes comes out of this water and she is in a skin tight zipper down shirt. Of course, that zip down halfway. And the detective in front of her is so, oh my God, she's the most gorgeous thing I've ever seen in my life that I can't look upon anything else. So when he gets shot, right, she dives back in and then this whole thing happens where this guy's shooting at her and she's swimming to the bottom of the lake where there's people waiting with giant chests and she's able to pull them. Yeah.
Or something. Or
something. And my favorite bit here is that the villains all start showing up to fight, right? And this is one of my favorite bits is that Frank Miller is a cop. In this, and he drives the spirit takes his cop car and they drive to the place. And then Frank Miller's playing this cop.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess off scene, he is murdered and the octopus decapitates him and then starts beating the spirit with his head. And he says, "You're giving me a headache," when he hits him over the head with his head.
I just can't.
And I was like, this movie right here. Fuck off, man. Like,
I know.
Fuck off.
See, here's
dude.
The thing. Like, I don't understand how they can make movies like Dick Tracy and make it work. You know? I mean, I think Dick Tracy worked. Oh, and it man. Was like that whole back yes. in the time. Like, this was more film noir with the black and white. But that was like, they took a comic book. They knew the assignment. They used the source material. And I think they did a good job. And they did make it, like, you know, kind of schlocky and funny and, you know, and goofy a little bit sometimes.
They were able to do it all.
But they were able to do it.
In the Dick Tracy movie, I mean.
Yeah, in the Dick Tracy movie, they were able to.
I applaud that movie.
And they made it all work. They made everything gel, even though it was so out of left field and crazy, the whole concept. The makeup, the costumes, all of it. They still made it work.
It's like they took, it's like what everybody should do. They go, we're going to do the book, but also do it. Like, it's real, but we can still say, like, that's what Batman movies have problems with now. They're like, oh, we're going to make a darker version of it. So the Riddler has to be some insane crybaby lunatic serial killer instead of being the Riddler. They can't do that because they're like, it's too fake. It's too childish. You have a guy in a bat suit. Stop.
Like, I know, for real.
Stop saying that you can embrace one but not the other. It doesn't make sense. Like, I hate this attitude that movies have these days. It's like, you can still do it. Like Dick Tracy did. They're like, these guys are all insane looking. That guy's name is Littleface because he's got a giant head. It's like, that's crazy. And I love it. And then you're also doing the colors and you're doing
color,
violence.
Everything works because it looks like it's being ripped right out of the pages of the comic.
The pages of the comic. And that's what they should have done here. If this was instead of the black colors, his suit is all black in this movie. If it was blues and if it was like Dick Tracy where they were embracing the color, I think this might have been
it
a
might
little
have been
cooler
a little bit
looking.
Cooler, yeah, but I feel like he just wanted to replicate what
his
Rodriguez
own.
Did, you know, the whole Sin City and what, you know, his own comic that it was literally not even going, that's what I say, it's just disrespectful because he just didn't take anything from the source material. He took a piece of that. He took like pretty much a page out of the entire dictionary, but then he rewrote it and then turned it into his own thing. So how is that paying homage to someone?
That's what I'm saying. It's like he took the whole idea and then wrote in like, I like sex. I like women. And I'm going to write. So every time you're scratching and like this person saves this person, I'm going to erase that and put this person Googles a girl like
ogles.
Yeah. I always say Googles.
I like Googles. You know, you Google me all the time. But like, honestly, I feel like, you know, he just comes off as like a dirty old man. You know, it's like,
that's
get
right.
your fucking life together, man. Like, you don't need to. I mean, I did read a piece of trivia that Eva Mendes signed on to do this movie because it was Frank Miller,
and she
never read the script or anything. Yes. She's like, I'm in because he's a brilliant mind and I want to be involved. But I'm sure at some point she's like, okay, my breasts are basically out. Like, you know, I don't know if she was thinking that.
This is the same thing that happened with Sin City 2 when the way that they filmed Eva Green, where we were all like, oh my God, they filmed her in such a gorgeous way that she looked like a working piece of art. The same goes here where the women look unbelievable. Mm-hmm. Like everybody just looks beautiful.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, if I was like Eva Mendes or one of these other actresses, I would say, well, Scarlett Johansson doesn't get as well filmed, I think, as the rest of them all do.
Yeah.
But some of them, I would say, hey, at the end of the day, look how incredible I look in every mm-hmm. shot. You know, so at least it looks good on a
yeah,
reel.
Yeah, I mean, maybe she didn't mind it, but
I love this, by the way. I want to talk about the one actor that I actually think is too good in this movie for the rest of the cast, is the actor from The Wonder Years that's playing the chief of police in
Dan
this movie.
Loria.
He is actually good.
He's too good to be in this film. He's that's very, the way I see
and
it.
He never got, to me, he's never got any of the time on film that he deserves. Mm-mm. He's much better than it seems like anybody knows.
Yeah.
And in this movie, every time he delivers lines that are awful lines, it's not his fault. The dialogue is terrible. He's doing a damn good job at it.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus! You ever meet a skirt you didn't chase?
Just trying to be nice.
Yeah, I see how nice you've been to my daughter. When are you planning on breaking her heart? You lounge lizard.
Lounge lizard? Where do you get off on calling me that?
I'll call you anything I want to. Hell, I don't even know why I bother talking with you anymore.
Because we fight crime, Commissioner, and right now we got our hands full.
Oh, you noticed that, have you? I thought with all the tail you've been chasing, you might have forgotten.
It's the octopus.
Again with the octopus.
He's up to something big, and it's got something to do with me. He said some pretty weird stuff about him and me. I gotta find out what he's talking about. I know it's important.
Can we forget about the octopus for 1 minute? Just 1 minute!
And it's weird and off-putting because everybody around him is just next level insane.
Yes, do you notice that he was the only one putting in half a piece of emotion?
That's what I'm saying.
I mean, he literally just... He was really trying. Like, even his daughter was played by Sarah Paulson in this movie, and she was in love with the spirit. But
everybody is.
Yeah, everybody is.
But it turns out she was in love with the actual person before he became the spirit.
Right.
He doesn't recognize her own boyfriend.
Right. He was the cop or whatever. So, but still, like, this just sends that message that, okay, first of all, you're willing to just keep forgiving him, even though he is repeatedly just, like you said, ogling other women.
It's embarrassing.
And he literally makes out with Eva Mendes, like, for 20 minutes.
In a spinning
right
cam.
In front of you in a spinning cam. And you're just fine. Like, you're just going to accept that? Have some freaking self-respect, you know? It's like, all right, like, why would you have to turn this character into that? Why would you have to turn the spirit into that guy? You know, like he's supposed to be a hero.
Yeah.
Why is he a dick?
Why a womanizer?
Right.
Yeah. And I know the chief of police keeps saying it. He's a dirtbag womanizer.
I mean, he straight up is.
There's a scene in this. They have a flashback where I guess Colt comes to him and's like, hey, you don't see his face. He's in the shadows for some reason. And he's talking to the chief of police through a screen door, and it looks like the chief of police just woke up and he's in his robe drinking a cup of coffee, and he's just staring at him like, who is this weirdo? And he's telling him this whole thing like, hey, I'm back from the dead, I'm resurrected, I'm your daughter's boyfriend, you knew I was a cop that was killed, I was buried, I came back to life, and I think I'm going to be a superhero now, and I'm gonna use this to fight people because I can't die, but we gotta pretend I'm still dead. And the chief of police, they keep showing him, he's just like, huh? I yeah. just woke up. Like, he literally never opens the screen door to talk to this guy that was basically his close to being his son-in-law.
Yeah.
And then throughout the whole movie, he knows this guy is dating my daughter and is cheating on her constantly.
Yeah.
You'd think that he'd be like, fuck off. He right. does throughout the movie, he does basically tell him to screw off constantly.
I mean, Dan Loria does tell him, you know, go F yourself, you're a piece of shit to my daughter.
Come on, it was a judgment call. I gave it my best shot.
Yeah, you blew it. Now I got one officer about an inch from dying, another with his head yanked off, all because you went off half-cocked after the octopus.
You're damn right I'm going after the octopus every chance I get.
Yeah, and you go through my men like toilet paper. It's an obsession.
But, like, at the same time, he's the savior of the city, so the cops are just fine with him stepping in and, you know, helping out with the crime syndicate and all that stuff.
There's so many things I mean, want to talk major... about. I just want to take it very slow. Can we take just talk about the new recruit actress?
Okay. Because she's terrible.
She is the main actress of the show Castle. She is like the voice of Wonder Woman in the cartoons now. I don't know what's going on here with her. She was told, act like a what you think a 1940s reporter talks like.
It's an honor to meet you, Mr. Spirit. I'm Morgan Stern, rookie, fresh from Baltimore.
Right.
Like a person on the side of the street selling newspapers, like the little kid on the side of the street selling newspapers. That's how she talks in this movie. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, I'm a good cop, and see how it is, Spirit.
Yeah.
You know, like, you're very, but she's dressed like Sandra Bullock in Demolition Man.
She is, yeah.
It's very strange.
Yeah, but she has a floppy police hat and everything.
Yeah. That acting is, that one's the worst. I think that's the worst in the movie.
Ugh.
Everybody is up in the air going crazy. The guy from The Wonders is in the middle because he's doing the right acting.
He's trying.
And then she's on the bottom like, oh man. She might be on the bottom with the guy who's getting cloned. There's that one actor who's being cloned over and over and over, yeah. And he plays this dumb-witted thing that I think is supposed to be really funny.
But he's not.
It's not funny.
There's always three of him at all times, and he...
Or more.
He gets run over, he gets hurt, he gets shot, he gets stabbed, everything. But they keep cloning him over and over and over again.
And he likes dying.
Because...
He constantly is like, oh, this feels great. Yeah. Oh, this hurts.
The octopus, who is our villain here, Sam Jackson, he needs... henchmen. So obviously there's no other henchmen in the city that he can recruit. You know, he just has to keep cloning this one particular guy.
And I only bring that up because in one of the most important sequences of dialogue, he has mutated one of the clones into being a foot with a head on it. And it's jumping around the table and it's making a lot of noise like, wee, woo. And it's in, you can't pay attention to anything that's happening in the sequence because there's a giant, there's a tiny foot with a head on it jumping around going wee.
Yeah, that's why I asked you to rewind it, because I was like, wait, can you, I missed some dialogue here.
How
and
can
I
anybody
need,
pay attention?
You can't. It's a fucking foot.
It's a
and it's so dumb.
Samuel Jackson himself says, the octopus says, it's so weird, it's so creepy. He says it like so many times.
I feel like he literally just made up that line and was just like, I really do think this is weird, why am I doing this scene, like why am I in this movie? It's, I think he just realized it.
It's so wild. And that literally covers up our dialogue sequences.
That's just plain damn weird.
Sir, you promised the new hyper-addictive synapse accelerant would be ready by last week.
Don't you think that's plain damn weird?
Yes, sir. Just plain damn weird.
Reduce the price on the old stuff. We'll make it up in units.
Word has hit the streets about the side effects. No one likes having their teeth turn into graham crackers.
How can I get anything done with all this time on my hands? Besides, when my buddies here find Sans Serif, I won't need profits. I'll have the blood. Then, if I want something, I'll just take it. That's what gods do! He is really damn little. I mean... really little.
I know I had another thing. I was like, oh my god, there's so many things. Every time you talk about something, like this thing was like, what?
I mean,
is that? What is this?
It's beyond. Like, I mean, if we tell you all the silly things that are happening in this movie, it just turns into like a farce. It's just a farce. And like, the whole point of this is that Sam Jackson.
Oh, that's what I wanted to talk about. Thank you. Go ahead.
Sam Jackson wants to get the blood of Heracles, who is the son of Zeus, and he wants that for himself so that he can, what, drink it and become immortal and leader of the free world?
They say that Zeus existed and that Zeus actually made the first superheroes, and that the blood of Heracles is actually on Earth in a vase. They figured out where it is, and if you drink it, you'll have his blood, which would make you immortal as a god. And since he can't die and he resurrects constantly, he drinks that, he's even more a of a god, and he thinks he can ascend and become an actual god on Earth.
Yeah,
and rule.
And rule the Earth, and so...
So he has to kill the spirit to get him out of the way. The problem is, in this movie, the character that they name a billion times, Sans Serif, she actually has stolen the vase by accident, hoping to get the other chest, because it turns out under the water in the central city, which again is the Flash's city, which is weird, there's under this water that seems to have some land and not land, there's two treasure chests of some sort linked up under the water, and one contains the thing that Sans Serif wants, and the other one contains what the octopus wants. Why he doesn't want both is beyond me, but unfortunately they get each other's boxes.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the big problem in the movie, is that it's virtually the octopus trying to figure out how to get the spirit to come to him, because he thinks that he's going for Sans Serif, and then they somehow want to get all together. It's the most confusingly convoluted bullshit you've ever heard in your life.
And in between the main plot and the other shit they created for you as a diversion, it's just straight up boringness. Like, nothing happens. Like, you even paused it at one moment and said, holy shit, we're more than halfway through this movie. Nothing has happened. Those were your words.
But I also will say this. It went so fast. I think when I paused it was 55 minutes, and I went, holy shit, that felt like 20 minutes.
Yeah, and I think it was because we were, I don't know, what were we doing? Where did we go in our minds to make this movie just keep flying by?
Because I think it's such nonsense that it feels like, I think in this movie, 20 minutes feels like 10. Like, it's one of those movies that so much is happening while nothing's really happening, and you're staring at it like, what? And it's going so fast.
Yeah,
they say that when you're having fun, it goes fast, right? Time goes by fast. But I don't think that's what happened here. I think that this movie actually transports you to another realm.
I'm just going to say this for the record. I was not having any sort of fun at all.
No, that's what I'm saying. It transports you to a pocket dimension where the time goes by very quickly. I think it's maybe because, you know, it's like when you smoke pot or something and you kind of like forget where you are for a little while.
Yeah.
You're like, just chill out and time goes by and you feel like time is not going by at all. It's just like, oh my God, I've been here for only 20 minutes.
It's weird. You know, I thought that, finding my reviews and like getting that prepared and taking notes the whole time, I thought that was going to be like, okay, well, I'm going to miss stuff if I start writing things down. Like, no, I'm not going to miss anything.
This is a movie where you actually feel like you need the script in your lap while you're watching it. You're like, yes, what?
Because it's so simple, but we are totally overcomplicating it because there's so many useless points of dialogue in this movie that have no relevance whatsoever to what's happening, and we're just like, why are we having this conversation for 20 minutes that foot was hopping along, okay, 20 minutes.
Wait, 10 minute sequence,
what is going on with this foot? Like, I cannot. And then he gets taken by the octopus, who's, you know, again, he's in a Nazi outfit, which is just so off-putting, okay? There's nothing more off-putting than seeing people wearing a goddamn Nazi outfit, especially when one person is a Jewish woman and the other one's a black man.
And they filmed her with a giant head of Hitler right behind her in the shot. Oh
my God! I'm like, what?
I was trying to figure out why he did this. Like, I'm trying to figure out why in his mind it worked. And all I can think was that I guess he was thinking like they did inhuman experiments, and that he was thinking that he's trying to do inhuman experiments, because in the sequence he also injects a kitten with some kind of liquid or something. Oh, it doesn't inject. It makes the cat drink a liquid that makes it explode, I guess, because
disintegrated.
For some reason only its eyeballs don't burn up, they just fall out into a sink.
Yeah, it disintegrated. I'm like, what is this? Why are you doing this?
And I think why he's going to Hitler stuff? Is it that why he's doing Nazi stuff?
Because Hitler was a diabolical monster and wanted to be a god and wanted to be ruler of the world. Is that what the symbolic?
He also does the same for Japan in one sequence where there's a sequence where they're all dressed in like komodos and there's a giant Japanese flag behind them.
Yeah.
And then he cuts his clones apart with a sword.
Yeah.
And I was like, What's going on? But since I'm a long-time comic book reader, I've seen this before with him. This is a pattern because he also has the characters in Sin City either being Nazis or using like swastikas. I've seen this before where I'm very confused by it.
That type of symbolism is just wrong. Okay. I don't understand it. And I don't think we need it.
Like, one of my favorite characters in the Sin City books is like a deadly little Miho, right?
Yeah.
And, she throws swastika, Chinese like throwing stars, like, and I always assumed that it was because originally the swastika was taken from, that culture. And it actually, and they reversed it to make it bad.
Right. It actually never meant anything bad.
It actually meant something else. It was like hopeful, or like a good thing. And so I always took that as like, oh, this character is taking back that symbol and using it for what it used to be or whatever. Mm-hmm. But now I look at it and I go, no, that wasn't his intent at all. And that was me trying to justify his insanity.
Mm-hmm.
But the more I see it, the more I go, something is really wrong with this guy. Like, you know, I can't help but think it. Can we also talk about the movie referencing the fact of other comic book characters constantly?
Okay, so they do mention, don't they? They mention Batman.
They mention Robin.
Oh, Robin. They mention Robin.
They mention Robin. They talk about Thor's hammer.
They talk about Thor.
There's a lot of comic book creators material everywhere.
Steve Ditko.
Yeah, they reference, and this is more Frank Miller referencing his own work. They reference Daredevil a few times, which he wrote.
Uh-huh.
They reference Star Trek for some reason. They actually insulted.
They insulted Star Trek, yeah.
That's odd.
Yep.
There's a couple times where they reference Miller's own work and then something else. I can't remember what it was, but they constantly do this to the point where you go, is he supposed to be existing in the same realm with any of these characters?
It doesn't make any sense because they don't want you to know what time this is, because they literally say to the spirit at one point, what year is it? And he says it's the present. And so they don't want us to know what year it is. However, he does have a cell phone.
He does.
And we're wearing Nazi outfits. I don't understand.
And the cop cars are old.
The cop cars are old. The outfits, the woman that was being robbed in the alleyway, she was wearing a 1940s outfit.
Yeah, he gets interviewed by a reporter in front of a malt shop, and there's kids watching an old-timey television.
Yep, and they're wearing, like, newspaper boy hats and stuff. So, I don't understand. Like, get your life together, Frank Miller, okay? If you... What are we doing here? He has a cell phone, except everything in the movie suggests that this is 1940s, except of course Eva Mendes' slinky little swimsuit that she's wearing in the pond.
And later on she puts on lingerie.
I just don't understand it. At one point I was like,
it's weird,
it's so bizarre, like
it's so weird.
Yeah, everything, every decision that he made in this movie was completely bizarre.
I guess I can see somebody probably justifying this movie as some kind of like comic book reference, but in my heart, I can't see it.
No.
I know that this is some kind of bombastic comic book idealism where it's all like insane, over the top, cartoony dialogue and things, but then he keeps going violent with it, and that's odd. And I can't help but think, what if they did this, but more like lean toward Dick Tracy, and then maybe some of it would have worked better if you would have taken out even the sexy stuff with the women.
Mm-hmm.
Like even doing that, I feel like it feels very, it does feel that idea of the playboy character and all that kind of stuff. I do understand that. I think it still kind of goes along with that idea of what this 1940s version is.
Yeah, but I'm not getting that from him at all.
Oh, but the guy, look, the only time that he feels, I see the Captain America thing. Like when he is sometimes talking to other people and he's acting like very hopeful. Like when he talks to the reporter and he's virtually like talking to kids and he's like, be good, stay in school, like that kind of stuff. He does feel like that wholesome guy. But then the next moment he's on the rooftop and he'll say something crazy again. And you're like, he's a whole nother person now. Like there's a whole scene where he's telling the entire story to a kitten.
Yeah.
And then when the cat dies in front of him, he goes, now I'm going to kill you. Now that you touched a kitten, you're dead to me. Like, I have a reason.
Right.
It's like, that's the wholesome thing. I feel like he even says the Captain America line, I could do this all day.
Right.
Like, which is funny because that character, you know, this movie came up before that movie. So I do feel like the movie is close to getting to that idea, but then going so wrong constantly.
Yeah, and no, it just seems like a lot of this just seems like, okay, he switches gears one moment, and he actually makes it like, okay, oh, Sam Jackson's going to do something villainy, and it's going to be, you know, kind of diabolical and fun, and we'll see what happens there. But then he completely switches around and does the perverse old man thing, and like,
yes, a lot. Know,
I'm like, wait, what are you doing? Like, you're taking me out of this.
Yeah. And it's like this, there's this Deadpool thing in here too, right? There's this whole thing where he keeps seeing death, and death is a woman belly dancing. And I think it's Jamie King who's playing this character.
Yeah.
And you kept asking me, who is this? And I was like, oh, they said in the opening that it's death, and she's calling to him because he can't die. She's obsessed with getting his soul, which is a very Deadpool-esque thing in the comics. Where Deadpool is kind of in love with death, and death is angry that she can't get his soul because he's supposed to be there.
Right.
Because he can't die.
So I think he calls her Lorelei at one point.
Yeah, I think that's the name.
Lorelei And I learn through, you know, through watching the movie that he has a lot of near-death experiences where he's like stabbed through or shot millions of times or whatever. And it's him not wanting to give in to death. So he like gets up and keeps pressing on and trudges on. And she's like in the background just, you know, with the freaking fan blowing in her hair. Yeah. And there's really no rhyme or reason to any of that.
No.
It's like, okay, she's calling him, but he keeps saying, nah, I'm not going to answer. I'll put you on, send you to voicemail, you know? and I feel like it's repetitive. It gets repetitive. And then at the end of the movie, I feel like, okay, he's going to choose to just give in and he's going to go with her.
Yeah.
No.
No.
No. Sam Jackson and, you know, Eva Mendes, they do the switcheroo on the chests, and she gets her fur coat with fleece coat or whatever she's wanting.
Which is another reference to the mythology with the whole, it's like the, I can't remember what it's called now, the fleece that you can wear, and it's virtually magical. It can protect you, and she uses it like a shield. She actually, all along, you think that she wants, like, all of the money, because she says it all the time. I like expensive things. I like rich stuff. But we find out is that, no, she's actually longing. She finally realized that the thing that she was missing all along is the one love that she ever had that she, you know, they let go of.
Right.
And so that his reference was the fleece is the thing that they would talk about. We'll become like a superhero and wear the fleece and protect you and all that kind of stuff. So she was actually trying to get the actual thing.
Right.
And she found it and she used it in the end to protect him.
Yeah, from blowing up. Sam Jackson, she actually shot the urn before he can drink the blood of Heracles and become immortal and rule the earth. So she actually saved humanity by shooting that vase. And all the liquid drained out, so he didn't, you know, and also he was shot. He freaked out and tried to kill them, and she saved them with the fleece blanket. Yeah. So the cops let her go at the end, which, you know, I still think she's a thief. She's a jewel thief.
After they make out for like 20 minutes, then he leaves her.
He leaves her. And I'm like, okay, wait.
Goes back to the other
girl. He goes back to Sarah Paulson, but like, and this is the scene I'm talking about. Was like, she watches them make out for like 20 minutes, and he goes back to her and says, "Oh, I love you, baby." And she's like,
"You're
okay.
My real love."
Like, what the, dude? What just happened there?
Yeah.
Like, get the fuck out of my face. You know, like,
that's insane.
It just goes to show you, like, an old man wrote this, because
yeah, totally.
You know, like, I didn't feel anything at all for any of these characters whatsoever. Not a thing.
And it happens multiple times in the movie too. It's like he has a belly dancer character for no reason in the Nazi scene, and she actually has those eagle, the Nazi eagles on her breasts. I don't know if you noticed that.
Yes, I did notice that. And I also noticed that she was, you know, she came out. What was the reasoning of Sam Jackson having her come out to dance in front of him?
I don't know, because she turns on them and like helps him and gets killed anyways.
It's very bizarre. I don't even know
who she was.
They don't tell us.
That's like what I'm saying. It's like, it was just like, it's like when you give a children, like a, like, oh, hey, children, if you give a children. my chef from South Park.
Hello, children.
It's like that you give a child a screenplay and there's like an outline and then they go, oh, and then a girl's in a bikini, you know, oh, and then he blows up and his finger crawls away. Or, what if this happened, you know, like what dialogue do you want him to say? Smells dental in here. You know, it's like,
I mean, it's so weird
because
who would
write that? Like,
first of all, this is the scene again when they're in the Nazi outfits, but she comes out in her semi sort of Nazi outfit too. And he's tied up. The spirit is tied up by Sam Jackson. So what is the reasoning of this woman coming out to dance in front of him? He hands her a sword and says, chop off his toes. Okay.
They said they're going to chop him in pieces and FedEx him all around the world so he can't resurrect.
Okay.
Because they're afraid that since he can't die too, that if he got the blood, he would become stronger than it. It would be the only thing that could stop the octopus.
Okay.
Or if he can resurrect, he can't stop. The octopus can't stop him either.
Right. Well, obviously these two have history because, you know, he has bedded every woman in the town, in Central City, obviously. So she frees him instead of chops his toes off.
Yeah.
And they share a kiss before she departs him. And I'm just like, okay, this is yet another woman that he has history with that just so happens to want to kill him, but
that's not. That's not why she frees him. She frees him because Sans Serif paid her to save him.
True, but she was also working for Sam Jackson, who could have just easily have killed her if she, you know,
that's why it was a double line, cross. So it was a double cross.
It was like, I don't know. But I mean, honestly, this is the stupidest thing. We learn that he blows up at the end, Sam Jackson, but his finger crawls away and Scarlett Johansson picks it up and says, oh, this is a start. So like they're going to clone him and make a new one.
Yeah.
And that's it.
I love that Samuel Jackson pulled, before he blew up, he pulled out the biggest machine guns you've ever seen in your life.
He said, I'm the octopus.
Fires in the sky and helicopters for like 20 minutes.
He was firing into the sky, but the helicopters were circling him. So he wasn't even moving the guns. He was just firing straight up. I'm like, what are you trying to fire at, first of all? Like, there's zero direction here. And the fact that he makes the line, I'm the octopus. I have eight of everything.
Yeah.
I'm like, what? First of all, he's pulling these guns out of his asshole. Literally. Yeah. Where are they coming from?
Meanwhile, he only has four guards and one girl with him. But he has eight of everything.
Right. And he has to keep...
How about eight backup plans?
Right. He has to keep cloning these goons.
You got eight of nothing, man. You got nothing.
I love when Scarlett Johansson says to one of the clones, she's like, shut up, you fart.
Yes. The dialogue in this movie is so bizarre. The dialogue is so
weird. Like, it just doesn't fit at all.
Delivering this, when the spirit wakes up in the morgue or whatever, again, he's like shirtless and he's in great shape, this guy. He looks great. But he goes, no, get me a tie. Make sure it's a red one. It's like, reading this dialogue, I would be like, oh my God.
Is this so stupid? Like, the whole entire thing, like, you can tell that an old man wrote this, had no idea what the fuck he's doing. And he definitely shit on the source material and he disrespected the man who wrote it. And, you know, yes, granted, I do appreciate that he didn't put that stereotypical racist, you know, character that was in the comic book in the movie. I'm glad he did away with that.
But then he did it anyways. That's what I'm saying.
I mean, he, to an extent, I guess he did. I suppose he did. But still, I feel, though, as like this is just something that he wanted to do. He didn't give a rat's ass about the original writer of this.
It feels like not.
No, I mean, he should have kept it like in Dick Tracy. Like, the way you could have improved on this is if you followed the plan that Dick Tracy followed, where like you could have made it, you know, true to the comic book and kept the goddamn original suit and the color in there, but also had that film noir element that you wanted. There are ways to do it. But I feel like he wasn't taking lessons from Dick Tracy or any other comic book movie. He wanted what he wanted, and this is what he got. It's a piece of shit.
Well, you know what? I can't help but think, you know, when you hear people say, why don't you make an original movie? And I can't help but watch this and go, you literally could have just turned this into your own script character. Like, you could have just wrote this as anything. You could have removed the spirit altogether from this movie. It wouldn't matter.
Well, yeah, he could have made it into a completely different character whatsoever. Yeah,
he could have just said, this is my own new original character.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know, what do you call him? City fucker or something like that. I don't know. City man. City man versus anything but the octopus, the squid. You could have just done it, and nobody would have known the difference.
The pufferfish.
Because I don't think if you showed this to somebody, they would, and you took the title out, or anybody seeing the spirit, or the names of the characters, if you took that all out, I don't think anybody would even connect that this is the spirit.
No.
Like, if anybody read that book, there's no way you would go, is this the spirit?
Yeah, no. Mm-mm. I mean, it's just, it's such a hot mess of just convoluted trash in there. Nothing has, there's like no rhyme or reason. And the plot that he did create for this, it was just downright stupid. It was stupid. I mean, first of all, we're living in who knows what timeline. And the fact that the blood of Heracles exists.
I know. And it's perfectly kept in a vase underneath the water in a chest. Like, I don't even know what that is.
That's like a whole jug of it, though. Oh, really? Yeah, a whole, like, jug?
How did someone get that and keep it through time? Like,
in, like, seriously, it's like a freaking ceramic jug
it
that
was.
You can, like, go to any museum and just see, like, the old time, you know, artifacts. That there's no fucking way that they would hold a jug of blood.
We were laughing because I was laughing. I couldn't stop pointing it out to you because Eva Mendes hides behind her chest, and the chest gets shot with bullets. And I go, why is it glowing? Like, why are the right. holes? That only would it make me assume that the holes went all the way through and there was light shining in,
mm-hmm.
and that's why it was coming through the holes. And I couldn't stop laughing because I was like, so the jug that was in, full with blood in that other chest didn't get it, the water never went in?
No.
Like, I was like, how did it stay okay if this thing's getting shot with bullets and they're piercing this thing?
Yeah, and you know, it's funny, when it does get shot and Sam Jackson's holding it, I mean, there is a whole huge jug full of blood in there.
Yeah.
It spews out all over the street. I'm like, what? Like, how?
He tries to drink it like a milk gallon, too.
It's so stupid. It's the stupidest plot I have ever seen.
It's so bad.
It's really bad.
I guess, here's my question, right? We always ask, is this the worst movie ever made? I don't think it's the worst movie ever made, but is this movie so bad it's good?
No.
Do you think it's even close?
No, it's bad. It's a bad film.
It's just bad,
film.
Bad?
Absolutely.
You don't think this is so wacky and bizarre that it might be so...
No.
Is it just because it's so dull?
It's very dull. If it was wacky and bizarre, that would be some attribute. There's nothing here. It's bare bones, stupid. And the things, the choices that were made in this as far as, like, just... plot points and dialogue and acting and costumes, it's straight up awful. I mean, it's just unbearably awful.
That's what I was debating with in my head. I was like, is this so bad it's good?
No.
Or is this straight up bad?
It's straight up trash.
And in that vein, then, what would you give this out of 10?
I mean, I'll give this a 3, I guess, because there are some shots that looked pretty nice, like the way it was filmed, like the angles and, you know, how things were filmed, like the black and white looked nice in some scenes and
but
stuff.
Not for this, so it doesn't work. It looks nice in Sin City.
It does.
For this, it's like, why are we doing this? And we didn't talk about this, by the way. Did you notice that multiple times when there was blues in scenes, it would pick up the blue, but then there was Pepsis?
Oh, shit.
There was perfectly lit Pepsis that were blue.
Okay, product placement.
Yeah, and I'm like, Pepsi wanted to get... They don't want you to see this.
Yeah, no.
But okay, so you're
gonna
saying
say 3. I'm going to say 3.
Or 3, okay. Yeah. And so I guess it wouldn't go in our top 10.
Well, what are you giving it?
I feel like I originally think we first saw it, we were falling asleep during it, and I didn't remember it at all. And it turns out that I had given it a 4. But I think I think you're right. I think it's worse than I thought it was.
Yeah.
Although I'm very on the fence with the so bad it's good and why I might have given a 4 the last time. I'm on the fence with it, but I think you're giving me more reason to go worse with it. Like it is very bad.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually, while rewatching it, I still found the things that I was writing on my phone more interesting than the movie itself.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I'm going to go the 3 with you. But it doesn't seem to go on our list because everything on our top 10 right now is under a 2.
Okay.
So,
I mean, this is a vanity project by an egotistical old man, period. He took something, he disrespected the source material, and I say fuck him.
Yeah, even if Will Eisner himself would have been okay with the idea of the character evolving and resurrecting and doing whatever and needing to move into the new,
mm-hmm.
like, styles, I get that he might have wanted that, but what we got here is more Frank Miller doing Frank Miller for Frank Miller's sake than it is saying, hey, Will Eisner, I appreciated you.
That's what I'm saying.
And
it's
so
a vanity project.
Yeah, and that's all I'm saying about that is, like, I understand there's a part of Will Eisner probably would want to grow with the idea.
Mm.
But yeah, not in this way. So.
Well, all right. Well, I'm settling on my 3. So I'm going to jump over to my segment of why we can't have nice things, where I read out 2 extremes of internet reviews, a 1 10-star and a 1 1-star review as proof that people ruin the rating system and prove that no matter what, there's always going to be some asshole that ruins it for the rest of us. And today, I actually picked 2 tens. One that is actually serious and one that's funny. Because I just liked it. So I'm going to read the 2 tens and then the 1.
Okay, I'm interested.
So I'll read the one serious one. So it's 10 out of 10. This one's titled Not Bad.
It's a 10 out of 10, yep. Not bad.
I have this unsettling feeling that people's criticisms of movies of late have been very biased. This is entertainment, not real life. No one goes to the movies anymore to have a good time. It now seems like an opportunity to go in and bash anything that comes into the theaters these days. If it's not The Dark Knight, then it's rubbish. Somehow, I don't share in people's hate for this. Clearly, it's visually good and seemed like a Broadway dance show to me. Just something to entertain and not really to learn from. The cheesy lines were intended and perfect for this sort of movie. The action was great, and Miller has debuted excellently well, and the art direction was great. Even the color and tone made it seem like a fictional world, where people think and talk differently. The script also felt like you're reading a comic. It's the sort of way a superhero movie in the 50s would have turned out. People ought to slow down and watch movies because they want to, and not because the media decides it's great or terrible. I enjoyed every bit of this. I can't understand why anyone would like Sin City and not like this, honestly. We all need to slow down and not bash everything. So that was 10 out of 10.
Oh, boy.
Now, my other fun 10 out of 10 is this guy, or girl, someone. Amazing if you're stoned. This is the review here. It says, guys, stop talking it down and watch it when you are high. It's just amazing.
Oh, my goodness. Is that all he wrote?
That's it.
Oh
10 out of 10.
That's perfect.
I thought that was a perfect one. So here's my...
Well, real fast, I just wanted to say, like, I like the first person is, like, full on admitting, I'm trying to fluff the review up.
Oh, by yeah.
Putting that 10 here.
Yeah.
Hey, come on, stop. It's not that bad. 10.
Yeah, right? Not that bad.
And the second one, perfect. That's exactly what
amazing.
A 10 out of 10 should be.
Yes. So this is a 1 out of 10. This movie was so good. I turned it off after watching the first 25 minutes. Yeah, that's how awful this movie was. Overall, if you plan on ever seeing this movie, heed my warning, don't. I repeat, don't do it. Okay, don't see this movie. Don't wonder why this movie is bad. Just stay away from this movie. That is all. This is an abomination and a slap in the face to all moviegoers who spent $10 on it. Even though everyone who has common sense had the good sense to stay away from this movie. Again, if you plan on seeing this movie, Do not do it. There are much better superhero and comic book movies. Rent one of those. Rating, nothing out of 10.
Oh, man. Do you agree that people should see this movie? Or do you think that someone should see this movie?
I feel like you're not really learning anything by watching this film. I feel like you could skip it. You could definitely skip it. This is a vanity project of someone who has a big ego and doesn't give a rat's ass about the person or persons involved in the original source material. They just wanted to do what they wanted to do. And you're not really gaining anything by watching this film. There's nothing to be entertained by in here. Nothing. So skip it.
I will disagree with you and say that I think people need to see this, because on the show we open up by saying that you can't review film unless you know what the worst is. And for all the people who recently have been giving the new Captain America film under 4-star reviews.
That's absurd.
I feel like those people really need to take into account what a bad superhero film is and what a bad comic book movie is. Even I review all movies off of each other. I don't like to separate in categories and say, this is what a good cowboy movie is. This is what a good musical is. A movie is a movie, and it should tell a story. It should do its purpose, entertain the audience, tell a good story, show some meaning, you know, make us think about our lives, think about things differently that we didn't think before. That's what a good movie would do. And the new Captain America movie might have flaws and problems, but it is not that bad when you compare it to movies in general. But if you need to like generalize a movie by a genre, then you watch the worst of the worst and you will see that isn't that bad in comparison.
Okay.
And if you're doing that genre grading, see The Spirit, see Catwoman, see Supergirl, and go, okay.
Okay.
This Captain America movie could have been worse.
I will definitely agree with you there.
I just think that's very important. I think people really need to have, especially I'm a part of the community on Instagram where everybody kind of bullshits. We all talk to each other and we all write reviews and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And I've been seeing a lot of those people knock movies to knock it.
Mm-hmm.
And go a little, and I hate doing it myself. Even when I write a review that's lower than a 5,
mm-hmm,
out of 10, I usually think about it a lot and I consider it, because I don't want to be that person that's just like, man, it's the worst thing I've ever watched. So I'm always trying to really debate in my mind, like, what is a good movie? What is a bad movie? And I got to say, like, when I see things like this, I go, I think this is necessary viewing in that sense, because you just kind of need to have an idea of what you're doing when you write a review. You know, you need to have that basis,
mm-hmm,
you know, and so I think that's important. So I definitely think this is one of those movies. I definitely think,
okay,
people, because I think this is one of those movies that fell through the cracks that people are not aware exists. You know,
yeah, that's,
I mean,
true.
It did say 63,000 people reviewed it. And last week we did Judge Dredd, which 123,000 people had seen it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's crazy to me, but that's 2 times the amount of these people have seen this. And this cast would say that maybe you should see it or would have known about it, but I guarantee a lot of people don't even know it exists.
That's true.
Yeah, because
I mean, I'm just going based on the fact that I just sat through this pile of crap and I'm just like, you don't have to. You don't have to watch it, but if you want to do a comparison of the superhero movies of today that you think are crap, I guarantee you, you watch this film and you will change your mind about those other ones.
I think so too.
That's pretty much it for me.
Yeah. So no thoughts? No other thoughts on Leaving?
No, you know, this is a disappointment, but I there were some visuals that I thought were kind of neat, but overall, I did not care for this film, and I just feel like he disrespected Will Eisner. That's it.
I
think he did.
I would love to have seen, I wish he was alive to see the movie and say, what the fuck? Like, which we have been doing this whole month. We've been watching movies that people were alive to see their creation and them being like, no,
mm-hmm,
you know, I guess I have two things here to end on. One, I joked around about how I wanted to start a show where we would talk about comic books a little bit and do like a little comic book thing where we read actual comics and stuff. And one day we have to do a thing where you read for the first time Frank Miller's Batman, All-Star Batman and Robin.
I would love to.
You have to, I think it's All-Star Batman and the Boy Wonder or whatever. You have to, because you don't know anything about it.
I don't.
And it is so insane that you reading it would be the most entertaining thing ever. So I think we might have to do a thing all on right. it.
Well, hook it up. Let's get it done.
Might have to do this. And right. two, we have done, this is the last movie of Comic Book Month.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have watched some really bad films. What do you think that the high and the low has been?
Oh, wow. Okay. I like Judge Dredd.
So we're going, that's the best, right?
100.
Of this month, that is definitely our top pick.
100%.
I would watch Judge Dredd again.
I would watch that again over all the ones that we watched.
Yeah. Yes. And the bottom. By the way, that's not true. Is Judge Dredd the tops or is HK?
Okay. All right. HK was just so goddamn crazy. That
we gave it a higher review.
We did. And I could not help myself because I did like HK. I did. I think I gave it a higher review than Judge Dredd. So I am going to say HK and then Judge Dredd. But I will say fucking Nick Fury, man. That
yeah,
movie
I think
is
Nick Fury
trash.
Might be the worst. Yeah.
Trash. I mean, I just couldn't. Yeah. That's the worst.
I think on our list, I moved Nick Fury to number two. So
it's the worst.
It does make sense. Yeah, Nick Fury's at number two and Vampirilla is number three.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I hated both. So
I know you hated Vampirilla for sure, but yeah. Damn. I mean, Nick Fury's bad. Yeah, I never want to see that movie again ever.
Isn't it crazy that The Spirit is right after those two? Yeah.
Yeah,
it's nuts. All right, then. All right, so as always, guys, thanks for listening. We appreciate it. And I would love to hear some thoughts on this movie if you had seen it, if you listened to the show. Give us on some thoughts on Instagram at Just Another Movie Night and Joe at The Crafty Misfit. We'd love to hear your thoughts and your opinions or picks for movies in the future or comic book movies that we might not know existed because we keep learning new ones. So give us those opinions and those thoughts. Until next time, everybody, thanks again. Have a good one. Bye.
It's so funny. My last thought would be of Sam. Nah. Lorelai, you're not for me just yet.
No, not again.
They need me. I gotta go back.
I will always be with you, Denny Colt. You won't escape me forever.